Please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4, and verse 14. James 4, verse 14. Second part of the verse, these words, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And our subject this morning is, "What is your life?" A tremendous subject for us to consider. Well, this is obviously the letter of James. James, who was James? Well, he was the half-brother of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the son of Mary and Joseph. Christ, of course, was born of Mary, but he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, no earthly father, but James had an earthly father, born of Mary, but his father was Joseph. But James, even though he was the half-brother of our Lord, remarkably, he did not always believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as our Saviour. And in fact, he even challenged him on at least one occasion about his mission and about his preaching and teaching and so forth. But despite his early misgivings, well, he eventually came to know the Lord in a saving fashion, and he ended up becoming a great pillar of the early church, the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, no less, and he was greatly used of the Lord. And here we have his writing in the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course, but preserved for our learning. Now, it is accepted, or at least it used to be widely accepted, that this letter of James is the first inspired writing of the New Testament. This is the first teaching of the New Testament age, written before the Gospels, written before all the letters of the Apostle Paul. After the Old Testament, this was the first letter of the New Testament that was written down, the first teaching of the Christian church. And when you look at the teaching, well, we see that even from the very start, the teaching of the Christian faith of the church was so very challenging. James's first exhortation in this letter is, "Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." He's exhorting Christians to rejoice even when things are tough. Even when things are not going very well, we are to rejoice because God is over everything. And that is the first teaching of the Christian church. James goes on to say other things just as challenging. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We're not supposed to be those who come in and just listen to sermons and then leave and go about our lives. We hear and we do. We obey the things that we hear. We apply all the things that we hear to our lives and we do them. Otherwise, it is worthless, as it were, to attend. James also says, it's not enough to believe in God, because even the devils believe in God. But you must have evidence of faith in your life. It's James who says that right at the start of the Christian age. When we are Christians, we don't just believe in God, that he exists. We trust in all that he has done for us. In his salvation, we strive to repent and to have faith. We're born again, and we have great evidence of that new birth in our lives. So many things we could consider in this letter, but for our consideration this morning, well, we just look at a small part, but a great part of this letter. Chapter 4 and verse 14. What is your life? It is even a vapor. What a deep question this is. What a fundamental question. What is your life? These types of question, of course, nowadays are not very popular or very common. People don't think about things like this anymore. So many times you get people, well, they seem to be too busy to think about the deeper things of life. You try to broach these subjects with people, they tell you, oh, I'm too busy to think about such things. I've got this going on and that going on. And no doubt so many people have many things. This is a very busy generation. People always work to the bone in their workplaces, busy with various things. If they're not busy at work, they're busy with their families, youngsters. I know so many youngsters, they're so busy with their schoolwork and so forth and exams, and even retired people. You know, people wait so long to get retired, and then when they do retire, the first thing they tell you is, you know, I've never been so busy. So we seem to live in this world where there is so much busyness. But in the midst of all this busyness, well, so very few people actually stop to ask why. Why am I so busy? Why am I running around doing all these things? Why am I breaking my back and expending all this energy and working every hour that God sends? What is this all for? Not many people ask that. Why am I doing this? What is my life? What is it all about? But thankfully, when we come to the scripture, it addresses this question, what is your life? The Lord wants us to know about these things. And this is the answer. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Well, how interesting. Something that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's the Bible's definition of our life. In other words, our lives, well, there's something temporary, something short-lived, something that will not last, something that is fleeting, something that is here today and gone tomorrow. That's the Bible's definition of our lives. That is it here, very clear, and this is the way that James describes it. It's not just James, by the way, who describes it in this way. We could point to many scriptures throughout the Bible. We looked at the Apostle Peter last week, and he utters words similar to this. Peter 1 verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. James and Peter. Well, Peter is likening the life of a human being, well, to grass, to flowers that wither away. We all know when we give a bouquet of flowers as a gift to a wife or to a mother or whoever you're giving it to, well, it's a beautiful gift. But that bouquet of flowers is not going to last very long. Only a few days. You wait a few days, those flowers are wilting. They're starting to die. After a week, they're pretty much gone. Well, that's like our lives. That's how Peter and James and so many others in the scriptures liken our lives. It is fleeting, it is passing. And well, James says it is even a vapor. What's a vapor? Well, a vapor is like a mist. It's like a smoke, a breath of air. And the best illustration to describe it, well, if you think on a cold day, you breathe out into the cold air, you see your breath, you see that vapor, but it's only for a little while. As soon as you see it, it's gone. And this is how James is describing our lives, only for a split second, as it were, in the grand scheme of things. No sooner do you see it than it is gone. You can't hold on to your life. This really is the meaning of the word. You can't keep it. It is passing very quickly. It's slipping through your grasp. You think of when you're young. Every single one of us was young once. But our youth, it goes so quickly. So quickly. So very fast. You can't hold on to it. First there's your school years. Then there's your college years. Then there's your university years. But they go so quickly. You can't stop time. So many people, well, they have very good times in their lives. Times in their lives when they think to themselves, oh, I was happy at that time in my life. If life could have just stopped at that point with my family and with my house and everything, if life could have just stopped at that point, everything would be wonderful. Everything would be perfect. But life doesn't stop. You can't keep hold of it in that sense. It's like a vapor. As soon as it's here, it's gone. It's passing all the time. This is why we spend so much of our lives just reminiscing on things that are past, looking back on happy memories. Moses, the man of God, in Psalm 90, he said that we spend our years as a tale that is told. Our years as a tale that is told. Well, part of what that means is that so much of our life is about reminiscing on things that are in the past. Life moves so quickly. Life is soon so gone that we're always looking back. We spend our lives as a tale that is told. We can never hold on to those wonderful things in our lives, to those good times. Our life, the life of each and every one of us, well, it's a vapor, a vapor. The word vapor as well, well, it indicates to us uncertainty of life. Not only is life fleeting and temporary, it's so uncertain. A mist is uncertain. You breathe out into the cold air. It doesn't take a certain shape. It is uncertain. It's a random shape. And this is what our lives are like. Life is so uncertain. We never know what's going to happen in the future. We never know what's around the corner. We think we do. We like to think we do. We make all sorts of great plans. We get very excited about our plans. Well, James is addressing that issue, even in this part of the letter. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Those people who make great plans. Today we're going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. Later on in my life I'm going to do this, this and this. Their ambitions. But look at what he says in verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. How can you make such concrete plans? You can't even see beyond this hour. Your life is so uncertain. Yes, we make great plans, but how often are we so cut down? We're so disappointed because something that we never saw coming has happened to us and has spoiled everything. And all our plans are scuppered. Could be anything. Could be illness. Could be unemployment. Could be family crisis or bereavement. You didn't see it coming, but it came. Life is so uncertain. And of course, the great uncertainty, the greatest uncertainty of our lives, well, we don't know how long our lives are going to last. How long do we each have? That is the greatest uncertainty. Death is approaching. Now, normally, we only associate death, or we like to associate death, with old age. But there is no age when we're immune from death. Of course not. There is no age when we are impervious to that death, to that tragic curse. You can die at any age. And people do die at any age. In middle age, in their 20s, in their teenage years, as children. We know all these things. We know that these things are so very true. Well, why am I speaking about this? Why am I just simply stating the obvious? Why does the Bible make such a great point about this? About pointing out to us that our life is just a vapor? Well, there is a great reason. The Bible teaches us that our life is fleeting and temporary. Why? Because the Bible, the Lord, wants us to focus on eternity. Wants us to fix our thinking on eternal matters, not on things in this life, in this world. This life is just a vapor, God is saying. Don't worry about that. Think about eternity. Where are you heading? Where is your eternal destination? We are compelled to think about these things because of the fragility, because of the fleeting nature of our lives. Life is so short, eternity is so long, it's forever. So you have to think about these things. This is the gospel message. This is the Christian faith. So many people have the wrong idea. And I say this from time to time. So many people think that the Christian faith is about this life, is about what God can give me in this life. If I become a Christian, God will help me in my business, in my relationships, with my career, with my health. This life, that's all anybody ever thinks about. But that's not what James is teaching. At the very start of the Christian age, your life is a vapor. It's so short. Why are you bothered about that? The message of the Christian faith, the gospel, is about eternity. When we're saved, it's about being saved for eternity. Why you think about the greatest promises in the scriptures? You think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest promise in the Bible. It's not about this life, it's everlasting life. Not about this short-lived life. Yes, God does help us in this life. Of course he does. He answers our prayers and blesses us tremendously. But ultimately, when we think about the gospel and salvation, this is why Christ came, to secure eternal life. Christ came and died on the cross, not simply for this life, for the blessings of this life, but that we may enter into eternity and know that we have heaven and eternal life. Blessings. So we must be clear on these things, and this is where our hearts and our minds may be at. It is even a vapor, your life, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Well, another illustration came to my mind when I was preparing this message, and we went on our bank holiday outing last Monday, and we had a wonderful time. The park was very full of people, and one thing I noticed, well, there were all sorts of things going on, but there was one father with his child, and he was just sat in the park blowing bubbles for quite a long time, and his child was so wonderfully enthralled by these bubbles. But you think of a bubble, well, you can apply it to this text here, a bubble, just like a vapor. You blow a bubble, it's so fragile, so short-lived. You know, so many people live their lives in a bubble. So many people in this world, they live their lives in a bubble, a great bubble of unbelief. So many atheists, they don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about eternal things. They don't want to hear about their need of a savior. They're living in a bubble. They'll only surround themselves with things that interest them, that things that won't challenge them. They live in a bubble. Well, I have to ask, is there anybody here who's living in a bubble? They're turning away from the things of God. They don't want to hear about it. You know, you can come into this church, you can sit on this seat, but you can still be in a bubble. Oh, I'm not going to listen to anything that this preacher says. I'm just going to think about something else. Let my mind wander about something far more interesting. I'm going to sit in my nice bubble. Are you living in a bubble? What a terrible way to be. Because one day, most certainly, without doubt, your bubble will burst. It's so fragile. It's so sensitive. It won't take much. But your bubble will most surely burst. And this is a terrible thing. There was a story I was reading just last week in the news. I don't know if you read of this. It's not a nice subject. But there was this scientist, and he had lived a long time. He was over 100 years. But he, well, for one reason or another, one foolish reason or another, he decided to end his life willingly, assisted suicide, and he went and took a journey to one of the countries where this is legal. He'd had enough. He was an atheist, of course. I'm sure in his life many people had tried to speak to him about God, but he was an atheist, living in his own bubble. And so he went and went to this clinic, assisted suicide. As he passed away, from what I understand, he was listening to his favorite piece of classical music. He wanted to stay in his bubble right till the very end. Give me some music. Don't let me think about the eternity that awaits. But you know, as soon as he passed away, this is the most certain thing. As soon as he left this world, that bubble would have burst. Most certainly. Then he would have, like everybody else who doesn't believe in God, then he would have realized there is a God. There is a holy God. A God with whom I have to do. People told me about this God and I didn't listen. I was in my bubble. But now that bubble is burst and I stand before God. And I've got sins, so many sins, unforgiven sins. And I heard the gospel so many times, but I just rejected it. Now the bubble is burst. What am I going to do? There's nothing you can do. You face a lost eternity. So, dear friends, you have to examine yourself. If you are living in that bubble, it will one day burst. Terribly. You have to burst it yourself now. You must come to Christ. See the great danger you're in. See the uncertainty of life. You never know how long you've got left. This could be your last day. You have to come to Christ. You have to seek Him. Your life is a vapor. Dear friend, I plead with you on behalf of all the members of this church. You must seek Christ. Well, I have to draw to conclusion. Well, I don't have much to say. Let us just think just a few more seconds on this verse. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Each and every one of us, you all look very healthy, by the way. But we all, every single one of us, we're all going to appear on this earth just for a little time. The number of decades that we live, well, they can be counted on the fingers of your hands. That's the number of decades that you live. Is there anybody here in 80 or 90 years who's still going to be alive? Nobody, maybe the babies in the back room perhaps, but none of us. We're only here just for a little time and then we will vanish away. Why would you live for this life, for this world? If you know this truth, why would you continue to live for this world? Every single one of us is going to vanish away. But if you trust in Christ, If you trust in him, believe that he suffered and died on the cross for your sin, that you may be forgiven, well then you will prevail. Christ is a rock. You put your faith on him, he is a rock. A rock is the opposite of a vapor. A vapor is short-lived and easily burst. A rock cannot be moved. You put your faith in Christ. When you stand before God, you won't be moved. You will prevail. You will be accepted. You will live forever with God. Put your faith in Christ. Don't be the one whose bubble will burst in this life and for eternity. Live not for this world. Repent and turn to Christ. Live for the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father. Oh, dear Lord, these are solemn things. Our life is but a vapor. And there are so many people who are deluded in this world and who are, as it were, living in a bubble. Oh, Lord, burst it even this day. Lord, we ask that thou wouldest be kind and merciful to those who are even hard-hearted. Lord, that they may not persist in their unbelief until the very end and be eternally lost. Have mercy upon them. We plead for them. Help them to awake unto righteousness and to humble themselves before thee. O Lord, we ask all these things, pleading before the throne of grace. And we ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.